time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
All right, then. We're back. Another week. You know what I mean? In your ear canal. What's good with you?
Shit, man. I am feeling good, sleep deprived, but you know, doing all the shit that I wanted to do, so can't complain, not one bit. All the shit I asked for, it's right there in my motherfucking grill. Here you go.
There you go. Whole lot. Yeah, nigga.
I don't want to hear that about no sleep now. Stop playing.
Right. Should have been more specific.
You know what I'm saying? I don't want to hear that.
Well, it sounds eventful. Man. What's been good? What's talked to me? What's been going on?
Just got back from Vegas from the Billboard Awards scenarios. So, was out there. Our team was working the gray carpet, as you would.
The gray carpet?
Yeah, the carpet was gray. It wasn't red or silver. I mean, you know.
What was that based shit, on? You
know, like chic. I don't know what the symbolism was. Maybe they was just going for modern chic. It was outside in the hot sun. I tell you that.
I'm sure Vegas. Hell yeah. I only been to Vegas one time. That shit was hot as fuck. Yeah, only once so far in my life. I was out there for work. I went out there to E3 and. Mm-hmm. I was out there in a damn suit. I remember walking the strip in a full-on suit. It had to be about 95 degrees, dog. This shit was dope. It was a nice suit. I liked it, but I was sweating through that shit. It was bananas. Mm-hmm. I didn't really get to enjoy Vegas too much because I was out there really for work. I've always said I need to go back. I've only scratched the surface. But, could imagine and I can relate to that humidity. But go ahead. So it was hot as fuck. Great carpet.
It wasn't that humid. It was, like, dry, but it was hot. Okay. Definitely. Weird thing is, like, you know, it was like 98 degrees or something like that. But if it's like 98 degrees in Miami, you really busting a cold sweat. Like you know what I'm saying? You got a whole sweat rag with you. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You ain't outside. You really just getting to the air condition. But Vegas, the heat was kind of dry, so it didn't really feel like 98. Unless you stood out in that shit for a minute. And I am averse to any of that standing outside in the hot sun, direct sun. Right. So, you know, me being, you know, from a tropical environment, even when you outside, you walking, you finding the shade side of the street, you know what I'm saying? You playing close to the wall so that, you know what I'm saying, you ain't getting them direct sunbeams.
Right.
So it was tolerable even at 98 degrees. And then a lot of times Vegas, you know, they had you trapped in them damn casinos and the cavernous hotels and, you know, everything right there. They don't really want to let you go. They don't even want to, you know what I'm saying? Like the sign to get back to the strip is hard to find in a casino. You walking in circles before you find the sign to get back outside. Like, which is weird because Even when you come to the hotel, right, it's like, you know, you got the big valet motor port, you know what I mean, and taxis and, you know, the drop-off area. Mm-hmm. But that don't really lead you to the strip, you know what I'm saying? Like, the door that leads you to the strip, you got to walk all the way through that mug, you know what I'm saying? And then it's like a nondescript-ass door, like a nondescript-ass entrance. They don't want you to leave. They want you to stay in that mug.
Spend that money.
Exactly. That's what they really mean when they say what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. It means all your money.
Right.
It ain't about the good time. It's about we leave all of the green. So, you know, that was going on. You know, Vegas is how you feel in Porto. You know?
I can imagine.
Niggas do it big in Vegas. I mean, you know, they do it big. You know what I'm saying? Big shopping, big this, big, you know. There's a lot of bigness going on. It's like, mm-hmm. you know how you go to the mall and you have on an outfit, you feel it's pretty fresh. But then you get in the mall lights. You're like, damn. My
shit look kind of mall dusty. Lights.
You know, the lights in the mall make your shit look old.
I could have ironed this a little harder.
Right. Like, you know what I'm saying? Is this dingy? You know what I'm saying? It's like the mall lights make the clothes, the new clothes look like something, and make the old clothes look like, nigga, you need to buy some new clothes.
Right.
So Vegas, that's how funny. You looking at your whole fit? You thought you was fresh. You walked outside. You like, yeah, damn. Maybe I shouldn't have wiped these shoes off. Maybe I should have bought some new ones.
Right.
Shit like that. But you know, it was a cool time. Like, you know, I'm typically not a big fan of Vegas, but
okay.
I understand it. You know what I'm saying? I understand what it is. You know, now I know how to navigate it a little bit. I've probably been to Vegas maybe four or five times. Used to go for Magic at, you know what I mean? Every time for work, but, you know, you learn a little more every time you touch down. But it is, you know.
What you learn this time?
Well, I just, you know, like, one, I spent more time. So I probably was there like 4 or 5 days, you know what I mean? So you got to move around a little more, you know. I did learn there's levels to anywhere you at, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's definitely levels. Like, you think you're doing it, but then there's about 3, 4, 5 levels on top of that. You know what I'm saying? You at the high roller table, they got a high roller table. You know, right. You thought you was going VIP in the restaurant, they got tunnels under the ground that you know, the real VIPs is taking. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, damn. You know?
That's wild.
So it's levels. Like, you'll be in one hotel, you in the same hotel. The other side of that bitch is way flyer than your side, you know?
Now,
so, you know, go ahead.
Is it one of them situations where if you don't know, you just don't know? Like, ignorance is bliss.
If you don't know, it ain't going to hurt you. If you don't know, you ain't going to hurt. But when you walk outside, when you walk through the lobby, you could see the, you know what I'm saying, it's difference. You know what I'm saying? You know, you might be like, yeah, damn, they charging $8 for this water.
Right.
Then you see a nigga coming through the lobby with 4 or 5 big ass Gucci bags. Like, yeah, damn. You know what I'm saying? Giving away Rolexes, you know.
Right.
So, you know, and then, you know, we was at, you know, the Billboard show was at the MGM. So we were staying there. And, you know, same hotel where Pac got in that fight.
Right.
So that was pretty nostalgic, walking that same hallway. Like, wait a minute, I know this hallway.
I've seen this surveillance footage.
Yeah. So, you know, when I checked in, man, I didn't even know that kind of room existed in this hotel. That shit was so raggedy. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Oh, shit.
I'm like, wait, the Ramada
inside the MGM?
Ramada inside the MGM. I'm like, wait a minute. Nah. You know what I'm saying? And the worst part about it was the smell. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
What the fuck is the worst? Nah, I can't do it. Can't do it. Went downstairs. They had the upgrades for you, you know what I'm saying? There's levels to the upgrade. So I got a little upgrade, and the next room was, you know, it was like, okay, this like feel like a whole nother hotel.
Got it.
They tripping. But then, you know, you spend 3, 4 days in there, you working the different restaurants, you like, eh. After a while, I was like, you know what, let me venture out, go to another spot, and see what the lay of the land is. And, you know, at one of the spots I heard about that I've never been to, you know, you always hear about the Vegas hotels, the different ones, like the Wynn and the, you know, the Delano and, you know, all the different ones. So I was like, man, fuck it, I want to eat good. I go over to the, went over to the Aria. Because I've heard about that from you know, all the clubs and the parties.
Right.
But I know that's where the, you know, the fly people be at. So let me go over there and eat good today. You know what I'm saying? Get over there, you really feel broke. That's where all the Baller Central.
Shit was crazy,
like,
huh?
Like, God damn, I thought I was doing all right. Nah, nigga.
What was the difference? What you see?
Oh, no, nah, I mean, it's just, you know, it's a lifestyle. Like, you know, I mean, you know, people come to Vegas to, you know,
go all out.
Go all out. Like, Vegas ain't no place where you go tiptoe. You know what I'm saying? You, whatever your level is, you go. You know what I'm saying? You put on your watch, you put on your you know what I'm saying, all your little shit that you accumulated and going on. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And just know that you're going to leave that money that you took out there with you. You're going to leave it. You know it. So you ain't even tripping. That's how people carry themselves out there. You know what I'm saying? They done created that lifestyle, like, leave all your money here.
Right.
But when you're working, you know what I'm saying, that ain't, you know, that ain't really on the table. But it's,
you ain't,
it's,
come,
it's
for some, that. You came to make some money.
Yeah, it's cool to observe, though. It's like, okay, okay. When you come to Vegas, you better come on to Vegas, you know.
So
the difference is that, you know, again, it's levels. You know what I mean? And while you probably got the high rollers at the MGM, it's just an older property. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Aria is a newer property. And so it's a different, it's a different sheen on it. You know what I'm saying? It's connected to the mall. They got the Gucci. And then it's like, they ain't even have no regulars. They ain't have no Gap or no shit like that in
this
mall.
Right. You'd be disappointed going to Gap in Vegas.
Ain't no Gap in Vegas. In that mall, it's like Gucci, Louis, Hermes, Tom Ford. It's just all of the, you know what I mean?
Luxury shit.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, when you go to the luxury shit, like, in your city, maybe like New York or LA, they got big ass, you know, spots. But like, when you go in your city, you know, it might be more limited. Like, out there, they got all of the whatevers. You know what I'm saying? You're like, oh shit, they got the whole collection up in this bitch.
Right.
So it's, you know, it's built for balling. You know, gangsters built Vegas. So, you know, it's a, it feel like gangster paradise.
That's crazy. Did you go to any of the festivities surrounding it, or was it all pretty much work detail?
So we were, like I said, we was there covering Billboard Awards, and but it was work detail, and it was different because, you know, most times it's been years, you know what I'm saying, over all these years, you used to being hands-on in the mix. You know what I'm saying? All right. I got this thing, boom, boom. Let me jump in the mix and get it done. And this time, it's kind of like, nah, you just managing the team and shit. So, you know, when it came down to it, I didn't even have credentials to go into the show. So it was like, all right, once I got everything set up, it's like, okay, well, what do I do with myself? You know what I'm saying? But then, you know, them problems show up, and then you realize why you got that latitude, because your job is really problem solving. When everybody that's too close to the forest to see the trees, you know, need something figured out, you already done saw two steps ahead, like, okay, boom, boom, this might happen. Let's, you know what I mean, if that go, let's do this. So it was different. It was almost like, damn, you kind of restless, because you like, well, let me get on. You want to do everything, but it's like, nah, nigga, just use your mind and start changing the way you look at work, you know, because for years, like you say, work means something physically you do, you know what I mean? Get out, get in the mix, pick up that camera, or, you know what I'm saying, whatever it is, it's like hands-on, and it's kind of like, now I have to start moving away from being in the mix like that, and kind of step back and be able to use your mind to move shit around and make life a little easier on yourself. So that's what I had to kind of work through on my own, because it wasn't like a big deal, but I did feel that itch to be like, damn, I need to be in the mix. Like, what, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, realized what I was doing and assumed the right position.
Okay. Fucking Vegas. So that sounds cool. You was out. You was doing the responsible Vegas.
Well, you know what I mean? Like I ain't shit. I ain't got it to be. You know what I mean? Playing with right. like that. So
I can dig it.
So I wasn't even there for that. That wasn't even no option. I got other shit to be doing.
Right.
But you know, again, as an observer, as a, you know, a cultural anthropologist, it's like you see, okay, yeah, I remember I had some neighbors, Mr. Shorty and Lily May. And Mr. Shorty, he was kind of like where I saw that you could be doing your own life your own way. Because, you know, he out there, you know, I'd be out there in the yard, making his yard fresh. You know, had a fresh new Cadillac every year. And every year they went to Vegas. That was a big thing. You know, Lil' May and Shawty going to Vegas. And then they take everybody. They all go out to Vegas. And now seeing it, I see why that was a thing. You know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, boom. You could go out there, get all your fresh shit for the year. You know what I'm saying? Have a good time. It's built for being out and feeling like shit, we out here doing it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Built for gold watches and some chains and some, you know what I'm saying? Eating good and you know, some, you know, silky wardrobes and, you know what I mean? Shit, Vegas, like the way you would dress in Vegas is like you wouldn't dress like that every day per se. You know what I'm saying?
Real conspicuous.
Yeah, Vegas is very for conspicuous consumption.
Right.
You know? So it's good to watch. It's good to see. It's good to know. Because, shit, I might want to, you know what I'm saying, put on my shit and go, you know what I'm saying?
Now, I could dig it. I haven't been back. It's been a long time. I wanted, you know, to that point, I got one friend of mine that goes to Vegas quite a bit, and he go crazy out there. That's like one of his spots. My man Johnny Mingle. We had him on the pod a while back. But he love a good Vegas. When I went out there for work, the time that I went out there for work, I was out there by myself for the most part outside of, you know, meeting with clients or whatever. But I was dolo and I was working during the day and at night. It was, you know, I would pop around and go to certain places, but it felt like similarly like the first time I went to New Orleans to, you know, U.S. destination cities, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it's different when you're by yourself because you don't have nobody to really put the battery in your back. You know what I mean? Like, there's, you know, to your point, Vegas felt like people come out there to have it. You know what I'm saying? And even if you're going to have it, you might at least lead one other motherfucker to witness this shit. You know what I'm saying? To, you know, just so you could look to them. Remember that time? You know what I mean? Like, yo, what I think about you at the motherfucking craps table about to roll a seven. You're feeling good. You know what I mean? You want somebody, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. To be like, yeah, you know, shit. Somebody to blow on the dice or whatever the fuck.
Yeah. Vegas ain't for the solo dolo unless you just gambler.
No, it didn't feel that way. Did not feel that
you're just
way.
A professional gambler or something. Other than that, you either with the homies, with your lady, or like on a family vacation, some type of shit. Which is so weird because all of those groups are mingling together in one space. Which is the wildest shit. Like, you really brought them kids to Vegas like that? This what y'all doing? Walking through this smoky ass casino.
Right. But it seemed like they got something for them kids too, though.
Yeah, they got something for everybody. They say they got no dollars untapped.
Right. That's what's up. Man. Yeah, that shit sound cool. That shit sounds, you know, at least it's out there. Did you eat anywhere good out there? I know they got good ass restaurants, or you was just keeping it real.
Shit, I did eat at a good spot over at the Aria. I just can't remember the name of that shit.
Okay.
You know, because what I did was, like I said, I knew that Aria was fly. And so I just went over there, jumped in the Uber, went over there, and went to the concierge and was like, you know, what's the shit? you know what I mean? And then he told me, and then that's just what I did. Oh, it's called Jean Georges Steakhouse.
That's just, yeah. Was it French? Probably, was it a French spot?
It could be like Jean George. It's a steakhouse.
Oh, okay, okay.
It could be Jean George's, but you know,
well, Jean,
you know,
George.
Jean George, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
That was pretty, that was good. Again, it's just like, you know, let me just go and be in the mix, you know.
Right. Right.
Get the work up off you, you know what I'm saying? Inspire your creative mind. And because, you know, Vegas is very American in the consumption and the capitalism. You know what I'm saying? So it's like sometimes you need to see it to understand where you at with it. Like, this is where you at. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what you thought, but this is what they're doing out here.
The Olympics.
Yeah.
Hey, exactly. You see what medal you got. Hustle Olympics. Right. Like, woo wee.
And you know, it is what it is. It was cool because they had Lovers and Friends was out there. So, you know, flight coming from the A was, you know, very, you know, Atlanta-esque.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Then, of course, they had the Billboard. So, there's a lot of people in town. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
That's what's up. Sounds cool.
They brought Ciara out of retirement. I think she ain't performed in about 3 years.
She hasn't. What do you mean? Ciara hasn't performed in 3 years?
That's what they said. She was her first time at Lovers and Friends.
Oh, I guess I could see that. I mean, it's probably a lot of people at least 2 years off.
Yeah, you know, I mean, 2 years definitely was.
Yeah,
you know,
but I guess she, automatic. You know, and shit. Yeah. And then she was pregnant 1 year, I guess.
A couple of years.
No. Yeah. So, you know, shit. She on the cover of Sports Illustrated right now, though. That swimsuit issue. Yeah, it's a few of them. Her, Kim Kardashian. Well, it's like at different covers, but I only seen her cover. She's on the cover of that shit, so that's a good look. I know Kim Kardashian is on the cover and somebody else. So, there's probably like a real legitimate, no doubt, you know, no shots, but like an actual model known, you know, that's their career. You know what I'm saying?
They democratized the swimsuit issue over the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, shit, like if you a model and this, you know, I don't know how much models make, you know, it's fluctuating, you know what I mean? But like there's still certain like tent pole achievements that I would imagine in the model game that you want to get at. And it might feel a certain type of way when, shit, well, who? Wait, who's going to get this? But I've been modeling since I'm 13 years old. This is my year. I just did Vogue last. This they told me. Well, yeah, look, we going the other way. You know, Kim has a Hulu deal. You know, Ciara, you know, her and Russell, they just moved to Denver. So it's kind of a thing. She's back on the stage. So yeah, I'm sure you could understand. I mean, we'll have you next year, you know. She's like, what? You know what I mean?
Well, but, you know. From what I understand, you know, not what I understand, like just from shooting with, you know, the French photographer I used to shoot with, he specialized in like swimwear and lingerie. Got it. It's certain kinds of models that do that kind of thing. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like Nina Agdale, like she that's what she do. You know what I mean?
Swimsuit, yeah,
you know, that type of stuff. Every model ain't really, you know what I'm saying, setting out to do that. That type of work, you know, it's a very different kind of build that swimwear will happen.
That's what I'm saying. Like if you training in the model sect, the model lane, the swimsuit lane, you know what I mean? You in the fucking gym 379 days out the year, even though it's only 365. You in that bitch doing two a days. Your agent was like, yo, 2022, I know the COVID kind of fucked up the swimsuit shit, I know, but, you know, we got you 2022 locked in. Man, you might feel some type of way with somebody from a neighboring, not even a neighboring industry, is on the cover of that shit. And I'm just looking at it from the opposite way. Salute to everybody on there, but it's just a damn shame that I'm like Ciara, Kim Kardashian, and somebody else. This was supposed to be their defining moment where we knew who somebody else's real name was. But for yet another year, they are still somebody else. Damn. But it is what it is.
Last year, I think they did a lot of people like that didn't have big names. I think they, you know, they opened it up a little bit, you know.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, gave people opportunities that wouldn't normally get the opportunities, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess they switch it up.
Got it. Something happened after. Okay, see, Yumi knew. The first plus-size Asian-American model on the cover of Sports Illustrated. I guess this was her look. I don't know. I'm trying to find out who the people were. But anyway, I'll get to that as I get to that. But looks like Jordan Peterson must have said something about Yumi New. And I think he quit Twitter because they went in on his ass. Anyway. I don't even really know everything about Jordan Peterson. I just know his name. I know he's on some bullshit. Just by every time I hear his name, it's always attached to some bullshit.
Last year, one of the, you know, Lashana's ethnicity models was in Sports Illustrated in the swimsuit issue.
That's what's up. Sage
Nicole.
Shout out to Sage Nicole. Model, yeah. Career model.
Haitian American out down there all right. In Miami.
All right, look at that. That's what's up. Nah, that's what's up. That's what it's supposed to be. Anyway, I was, before you called, man, I was reading this wild story about Anderson Paak's Pops or Anderson Paak's family. It's trending on Twitter. I guess it came out a while ago. I'm not all the way through it, but it's just some wild shit. And I don't think I had heard. All I knew about Anderson Paak, his family, I knew his mom's was like some straw, grew a bunch of strawberries or whatever, and maybe some other shit or whatever. I ain't get too deep into it, you know what I mean? But all I know is so Anderson Paak's pops was a twin named Ronald, right? Who had a twin brother named Donald. They from Philly. Yeah, Ronald and Donald. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. And so they identical twins and shit, and they look just like Anderson Paak. You know what I mean? They some identical twin cats. And they was doing all of the wild identical twin shit. You know what I'm saying? Switching off and, you know, switching off at the job, switching off with women, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Going crazy with it. Like, so far, like, they went all the way on some wild shit. Like, Ronald Anderson's Paak, who was, like, I guess, known as the good twin, and Donald was known as the evil twin, right? You know, because there's always that delineation, right? So, like, right. You know, Donald was a little bit more aggressive, short-tempered, you know what I mean? Ronald was a little, you know, nicer guy or whatever. So, anyway, Ronald had gotten into... They both wanted to leave Philly. It was in North Philly. They both wanted to get out of Philly. They was done with high school or whatever, trying to get up out the city. Ronald wanted to go into the service. I think it was the Navy or something. I'm not positive, but they wanted to get into the service or whatever. But he was like 17, so his pops lied and said he was, you know, born a year earlier so he could get in there. He goes there. He goes to, you know, basic training boot camp. He's in there about 6 months or whatever, maybe a little less than that. You know, he comes back right before he's going to get deployed. He goes back home to Philly and she's chopping it up with Donald. He's telling Donald, they drinking and she telling Donald, he was like, yo, I ain't fucking with this shit, man. I don't like it. This shit is some bullshit. I kind of regret even signing up. You know, Donald like, well, shit, nigga, I'll go. I'm trying to get up out of here. I'll go fuck it. So Ronald say, all right, fuck it. He teaches him all of the gun tricks. He uses a broomstick to show him how to use his rifle. He tells him how to, you know, distinguish the ranks of the captain, sir, you know, sergeant, all of that type of shit. Teaches him everything. Donald shaves his head next day. They downstairs. Pops see them both with the buzz cut sitting at the dinner at the breakfast table. Pops is like, oh, see, y'all about to do that bullshit, huh? You know what I mean? All right, don't get caught. You know what I'm saying? So fucking Donald goes out there for Ronald. They don't know. Donald is a hit. This nigga's loving it. He's out in Korea. He goes through the orientation. He gets dispatched out to Korea. He's having a good time hanging out, dancing and shit. People are like, yo, Donald, nigga, you could dance like, oh, Ronald, you could dance like shit. When you learn how to, you wasn't the best dancer 6 months ago. So then Donald had to like fall back on his dancing because he was the better dancer out of the two of them. Anyway, so then that's just one thing that they did. They would do other shit. So like, Ronald has some family. What happened? Oh, so peek this. So Ronald, while Donald is over in Korea, mm-hmm. Ronald driving, you know, driving Donald's car and shit, racking up mad tickets. I don't think he got a job or, you know what I mean? But either way, he just letting the tickets go crazy.
The good twin. So,
the good twin on some bullshit, though. He also, you know, he too good to pay a ticket. So this nigga driving around, racking up tickets or whatever. Donald comes home to a hero's welcome, you know what I mean? Because he just came from the service, you know what I mean? You know, they, I don't know if they think it's Ronald, but either way, he just came from abroad and shit. They, hey. Next thing you know, this nigga go to jail. He go to jail because he ain't paid no tickets. So this nigga Donald wind up in jail. Ronald is in the streets. Ronald start having kids. Got a few kids out Philly, but you know, he ain't really in their lives like that. And one day he just decides, I forget for what reason, but he just decides to go out to California. Change of pace. Goes to California. Meets this woman. I want to say her name is, damn. Oh, shit. Is it Martha? Damn, hold on. I'm going to find her name. It's, I'll keep going. Well, anyway, Ronald finds this woman. Her name is Brenda. So he have a baby with Brenda, who turns out to be Brandy. Yeah, right. Brenda had a baby with old Ronald. So Brenda has a baby. Brenda working the strawberry, like the produce game. She's doing her thing in the work. He meets her at the club, whatever, whatever. I think Donald might have went out there too. I don't know if it immediately, but anyway, long story short, Brenda has a baby by Ronald. You know, the baby's name is Brandon. Brandon is Anderson .Paak. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? So then he like, yo, we're going to make a family. He did the future. You know what I'm saying? He's like, we're going to have a family. We're going to have two kids. So they have a kid, and Brenda already had two kids, so they have a kid. They two kids and shit. They got a little family. And Brenda's like, yo, you should really, you know, reach out to your estranged family. So he start flying in the other family from Philly. They turn into a nice little blended family, whatever, whatever. Things are going great. Ronald is like life of the party. Great guy. Brenda's out there, you know, getting the produce shit on, working crazy hours, you know. Ronald's on some Mr. Mom shit, like really making it happen, holding everybody down, whatever, whatever. And what happens? I think Ronald start fucking with, you know, the coke and nigga wind up on crack. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, Ronald wind up on crack. And then, you know, that shit kind of things start fucking up a little bit. And then, he, you know, he needing money. She trying to get him into rehab and all of that shit. And, you know, one thing leads to another. She giving him some money, you know, trying to get him to be cool, you know, get his wife together, trying to put him into rehab. He wound up stealing a bunch of money from her house because she set him up in a whole nother apartment because he was like, for, like, he would start bringing crackheads to the house, and they smoking crack in the house and shit, and she got kids, so they, she set him up in a whole nother apartment. That shit turned to a crack house. He's, like, really all on the, you know, on rock like that. Mm-hmm. He runs up in the spots, steals, like, tens of thousands of dollars that she needed to invest in the produce shit. She finds a friend in the business who, gives, who fronts us some money, gives us some money to get to the thing. That turns into a whole thing that this guy is cool with Brenda, but Ronald don't like that shit. He real jealous. So then he go over there. He try to kill Brenda, choke her, whatever the fuck. But then, I ain't even get all the way through it, but then it's like, was it Ronald or was it Donald? Because at one point, Ronald was in jail for some shit, and then he's like, he got out on a work release thing. He was supposed to, you know, report back, but he didn't report back, so they went looking for him, and Donald was like, I'll go inform. And, you know, the whole shit, yeah, no, it, it gets kind of crazy. I'm, that's how far I am into the story, but this shit is just,
it's just so, what is this?
This was, no, this was a, well, first it came from a Twitter thread. Not first, it came from Twitter. I first saw it in a Twitter thread. Some woman was tweeting about it or whatever. And then somebody, which is interesting, I think it was a white woman, I'm not sure, but this was interesting because there's, you know, Twitter. You know, I told you the social media is the black people's closest thing to justice. You know what I mean? So, like, they found out that it was actually a black reporter that she was, you know, surmising, you know what I mean, summarizing or whatever in this little tweet thread. So they kind of started, I guess, ratioing her, like, you stole this from da-da-da-da-da, here's the real story, da-da-da-da-da. So that she deleted the tweet, they re-uploaded the story. So I'm reading the story, because the guy who wrote the story actually lived right across the street from them. And he didn't put everything together until like 20 years later, because he has a kid, you know, Brandon, and I think the daughter's name is Fielding or some shit like that. The little daughter's like Anderson, Brandon, and the daughter. So it was like one was 7 and one was 5. And the guy across the street, he had a son that was 7 and a daughter that was 5. And they lived, this was like in Ventura County where it wasn't a whole lot of black people, and they were both black people. You know what I'm saying? They, like, it was like little, like 1 to 2%. So it was just kind of, you know, cool that there was a whole, basically a mirror image black family across the street for the kids to hang out, whatever, whatever. But he didn't realize, and he was there at this point when he got there. Brenda was living with the guy, I forget his name, William. William's the guy that fronted her like the 20,000 so she could get her shit going. They wound up living to get, well, actually, after the attack, homie was like, yo, you should live with me just so I could, you know what I mean, I'll protect you. And at that point, they were still kind of platonic, but then it moved to being romantic. But the guy that moved across the street, he was a reporter, and he was doing a story on Ronald and Donald. And he didn't realize that the woman that Ronald or Donald attacked was Brenda. He didn't even realize that she lived right across the street. And then it's like 20 years later when he was like, I guess he came across Anderson Paak. He was like, yo, that looked just like Ronald and Donald. You know what I mean? And he started putting the whole shit together. This is before Anderson Paak was Anderson Paak. I forget his name before that. It was like, I forget his name, but y'all, something Lovejoy. But yeah, man, the shit is a wild little story. It's a wild little story. It's funny because he was talking about, because I do remember when he was on the Breakfast Club and he kind of made like a quick mention of like his backstory. And he was like, and the guy says it in the piece, he was like, you know, Anderson made reference to be like, yo, this shit could be a movie. And the reporter was like, they don't even know the half. And I'm reading this shit. This shit is dead ass movie. Like, this shit was crazy. Your boy Anderson is a wild dude. I mean, not a wild dude, he's a wild pass. And it's just so crazy because you probably would never get that based on, you know what I mean? Like, his, you know, his sensibility, or at least what you get. You know what I mean? His sensibility, his big ass smile. You know what I'm saying? Like, you would never know all of this wild shit was going on in his past. But, you know, that just shows the depth of people.
Yeah,
you don't know. That's people. An interesting story. Yeah, man. Yeah.
You don't know people.
People are people.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man. So that's what I was reading right before you hit me up. Yeah. Speaking of depth, have you listened to Mr. Morale in the Big Steppers?
I did. I listened to it on the flight. It dropped that morning. And
okay. Nice.
And I was like, you know, let me go ahead and put that on. Now, I ain't listen, you know what I'm saying, for all of the, you know.
Right. I mean, you know, look.
It was just a, you know, exploratory listen. It wasn't for academic purposes.
Gotcha. Well, you know, with the Kendrick album, you're going to have to listen about 4 or 5 times to really get through it. I feel like he's always, you know, that he make real heavy meals. You know what I'm saying? This ain't no little side dish. You know what I'm saying? This is no little, you know, appetizer type shit. You know, no fast food. These shits be like, this is like grandma cooking. You know what I'm saying? Heavy starches and, you know what I'm saying, fried meats and, you know what I'm saying, balls. There's no need to do that. Anyway, shit's good. I like it. I liked it. I had to listen to it. I've only listened to it maybe 2.5 times so far. I damn near killed myself listening to it the first time because I was out. I was out the night that it came out. I went to go see this movie, Everything Everywhere All at Once. I think I was telling you I was about to go check that out. So I went to go see that shit, and I was kicking it or whatever. And then I'm in the whip, and you know, 12 o'clock came, so I downloaded the shit to my phone, and I'm driving home, you know what I'm saying, on the West Side Highway, and I press play on the shit, and nothing happening. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, what's going on? I know I put it on the phone. I saw them hit me with the check. You know, when you're doing it on your iPhone, it's like, give you the check. We got you. I'm like, what's going on? I'm driving this shit like an idiot, looking at the motherfucking thing, and the shit is all grayed out. You know what I mean? And then the shit just disappears. So now I'm like, what the fuck? I'm driving. I'm going through the Kendrick Lamar shit. I'm playing myself, honestly. So the shit that crashed, you know what I'm saying? Look, fortunately, that crash, I didn't crash. It wasn't really many people on the road anyway. But anyway, long story short, the shit crashed, and I was sick because I'm like, damn, you know, Park It for Me could be a double album. This would have been ideal. So I get uptown. By the time I get uptown, I'm looking around for Park It just a bit. Then the album populates again back on iTunes and shit. And then I'm listening to it, and it reminded me of when I heard Yeezus for the first time, just in the way of like the sonically, it was just so different than everything going on at the moment. Just how it started, it just like that first record was, it just was a little like to the left. Maybe even a little bit more to the left. It was just like, all right, okay. But again, similar to Kanye, Kendrick is one of those artists where I expect him to go left every time. Every time it's damn near a whole new reinvention. You're going to try some new shit, which I appreciate because I think he's one of those stars that leverages his greatness and his superstardom to do some shit, to take artistic risks and big-ass swings, you know, so... I'm listening to it. I'm driving around. You know, I'm still looking for Parks. I'm not, you know, kind of distracted or whatever. But I'm like, it's getting there. Certain records that are hitting me a little better than other records. But initially, and it was late, so I was like, this is the first listen. Initially, it was cool. There's some shit on there that I like. Some shit that I was like, all right, this, I'm going to have to really get into this a little later. So then the next day, I forget where I was. I took a drive somewhere. And that's when I kind of got into it a little bit more. And I just fuck with it. I think he's, you know, he's dealing with a lot of little, you know, a lot of heavy subject matter, which is not dissimilar than, you know, at least Damn. And even, you know, most of the times, you know, Kendrick ain't afraid to go into the deep side of the pool. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But like, you could kind of listen to tell he's in therapy because he unpacking on niggas. You know what I'm saying? Like, he really getting into some, you know, he getting into, he doing the work on these beats, really going crazy and talking about things that are like, oh, wow. You know what I'm saying? But what's one of those things that I appreciate about, because he's going to go there. So you like, wow, yeah. Shit. You know, there's that. I like he had Kodak on there a few times. I think that's kind of cool because of an artist of his ilk, you know what I'm saying, mm-hmm. presenting Kodak makes people look at Kodak differently. Not that if, right. you know, people that know Kodak is dope, they probably, you know what I mean, it is what it is. It's kind of, even that, it's like, oh, wow, that's interesting. Right. But I think Kodak, one of them cats, due to a lot of his antics, people will write him off immediately. You know what I'm saying? Right. So for Kendrick to kind of feature him, and, you know, not even just on some one record type shit, have him on through the joint. I thought that was pretty dope.
That was another Pastor Duval prediction from mm-hmm. back in the day.
Yeah, I thought about that. I saw that. I remember that tweet initially. So when I saw that on the thing, I was like, oh, wow. And, you know, that nigga gonna definitely let you know.
Yeah, he said it.
You know what I'm saying?
That was dope. It's kind of akin to when you know, Kanye would pull cats up, like most mm-hmm. notably like 2 Chainz, you know what I'm saying? Like 2 Chainz was dope in its own regard, but then when Kanye pulled them up, it was kind of like, oh shit, people looked at it totally differently.
Right.
You know.
Right.
I'm not saying that, you know, 2 Chainz is Kodak or Kodak is 2 Chainz, but it feels the same. Right. Like, as
even
far
like
as the
Biggie
move.
And Bone.
Right.
You know, but what Bone man? Was well, up some there, people. Well, he was, but they was like, they were, in my mind.
Yeah, you know it was saying? More like, they were, more like Jay-Z, UGK, who the Southern people was like, nah, right, they, you right. know what I'm saying? But they hadn't got up there nationally. Right. Bone was like right, multi-platinum.
Yeah, but they were still kind of, this was still back in the day when shit, that regional shit was still very strong, where like it was a big deal for Big to do the Bone Flow. People knew Bone because of the Crossroads right. and all of that shit, first of the month. Hits. Like they were popular as fuck. They were acclaimed, but they were like distinctly different. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, you know, you had to really, that was back in the days when you really, like, you could tell what type of hip-hop head you were and how dedicated you was to it and how open-minded you were by some of the shit you listened to. You know what I mean? Like, you know, there's a lot of people say, oh, I was listening to Bone before. Or I was listening to Master P before, you know, he blew. Like, there's certain people that I might believe that, but a lot of people I know was very, you know, local with their heroes, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, really wasn't that open to some of that other shit. But yeah, definitely, you know, the 2 Chainz example is good, you know, and also like, or even with Jay jumped on a high remix, you know what I'm saying? Like, it still felt like an event. Like, even remember back in the days when, you know, not to say motherfuckers wasn't cracking already, but I remember when Skewered on the Barbie first came out. You like, wow, wait a minute, Outkast and Raekwon?
That's probably one of their very few features outside of the Dungeon Family.
Yeah, think about it. Yeah.
I think they did that, and one was Slick Rick.
Yeah, the Art of Storytelling. Yeah. I can't think of anybody else. Yeah, I think, I mean, it's Erykah Badu.
Yeah,
but you know. Yeah, that's in the family.
That was Fantas. She was a family.
Yeah, that's Fantas. I'm trying to think. Yeah, I can't really. That's interesting. That's an interesting point. But yeah, I remember when that first came out. Like, that was a big thing. Like, oh shit! I remember they had a whole big Skewered on the Barbecue out at the at the Dungeon Family house. That was a big event that they did.
That album dropped on my birthday. That was probably like one of my best birthdays out as a young man. Like, that was
right. September 20th. Yeah, I remember that.
I had it that year.
Yeah. That same, and Hov dropped that day.
Yeah. So that was great. That was a good time.
Yeah.
That was old Atlanta. I was just in town, you know. And stumbled upon a great night.
Oh yeah.
Oh well, that's always a good situation.
That the day that dropped, then I think it was probably like the next night we went to a little spot called Otto's, I think.
I remember Otto's. Yeah. Where was that at? That was on
it was like an old Buckhead. Well, Buckhead Village is
now.
It was
like a cigar bar type of thing.
Yeah, it was like a cigar bar.
Yeah.
Niggas, you know, stepped in there with, you know, had my braids, had fresh braids, you know what I'm saying, done up. Had on this fit that I had plotted out and put together. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't nothing fancy, but it was like, you know what I'm saying, I'm going to make a flip on this and that, whoop, whoop. It was like, you know, that was when Dickies was out and all. You know, Miami niggas was wearing Dickies. I was like, nah, I'm going to get me a polo. A whole polo set, but it's gone, you know what I'm saying, but in the khaki color like Dickies.
Yo, elevated Dickies.
Dickies with, you know, nicer material with these Clarks, these particular Clarks that I wanted. I would put them together, and you know, again, it was like a simple, it was like a simple monochromatic outfit with the fresh braids. Man, you would have thought I had on Gucci that night, boy. I was like, oh, this shit was a hit.
And it was well received out there.
It was well received.
They always remember the winning night.
It was well received, boy. Right. I was like, okay. That's I got to do this.
Oh, man.
This shit sounds so simple now. Nigga, now you got to get a, you know what I'm saying, a $100,000 choker. But that particular night, nigga, because everybody was dressed up. But then they couldn't deny you entry because you had on a polo with the collar. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you basically had on khakis.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, and then you ain't have on sneakers. I had on the Clarks. So they couldn't deny you entry. It just wasn't, you weren't suited up. And that shit hit. That was a trip. That was a fun night.
That's what's up. Shout out to the 90s. Yeah, man.
what was that, like
98? 98, yeah, that was 90. I'm pretty sure it was 98. That was dope. I was saying they did an event called Skew It on the Barbecue. It was right around the same time. You know, so I guess that was like, it might have been like the first single, or maybe the B side of the, I don't know what the first single was off that album, but it might have been the first single on that shit. And they had an event, Skew It on the Barbecue, at like a little mansion. Or maybe it was I don't think it was the dungeon. But it was like, it was off Cascade. It was this big ass mansion.
Yeah, that's the dungeon.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the dungeon was off Cascade.
It might have been. But I know everything was like outside. I can't remember. It might have been a White House. It was a nice size house. It had a decent amount. The reason I said it might not have been a dungeon, or maybe it was, but it had a decent amount of like yard and room.
Yeah, it was like those big ass lots. Yeah, one of my homeboys was. His family owned the lot next to that, and it's like five acres. And then Hank Aaron is right across the street from there.
Okay. Yeah, that shit was crazy. That was, shout out to Shanti Das. I believe she put that on her, Taye, you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? That was a big fucking deal. You know, they came through. That might have been like probably one of the first, if not the first, industry event that I had ever gone to. You know what I'm saying? At that point, I was interning or whatever, and that shit was lit. I can't remember how crazy it was. It just was popping. It just felt great. It was a good time. You know what I'm saying? It just felt like a next level cookout. You know what I'm saying? Like, because that was the thing too. Like, people don't talk about that shit as much anymore, and I don't know if it still goes on. You know, now everything is at event spaces and shit like that. But back in the days, there was a lot of, like, cookout
type of vibes. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you know, they was talking, I was seeing, you know, they was talking about how Queen Latifah and them used to have the cookouts back in the days. I remember back in the days, like, Heavy D was known for having cookouts. You know what I'm saying? Like, you get you a little spot and, you know, you got a house or whatever, people come through and it wasn't, that was the place. That was the place mm-hmm. to be. Like, oh, shit. I'm sure that shit still goes on, but like,
yeah, it do.
Yeah, it makes it feel a little bit more like, familial might not even be the word, maybe kind of, but yeah, a little bit more familiar than a venue, because sometimes a venue could kind of be cold. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like something about, even if it's not even your real home, something about some shit happening at a house, at a home, right. You know what I mean? It just feels a little bit more personal. You know what I mean? Even if there's staff on the grill and all of that other shit and people are mm-hmm. got trays of drinks, it just still feels a little bit more homespun. But anyway, yeah, that shit was cracking.
Yeah, you know, niggas ain't throwing too big of a parties no more at the crib.
Yeah, that's not.
You know what I'm saying? Shit, times done changed a little bit.
Being a little
more discreet.
Right, you don't want to know where motherfuckers rest they head at, I guess, you know, and shit. Which is all understandable. So we did all of this off of the spinoff of Kodak on the shit. I like Kodak on there. That was that tangent. That shit went off of the Kodak pairing. Taylor Page on the
yeah, that was crazy right name. There.
Yeah, she gave that shit. Yeah. That shit was dope.
And just the subliminal parallel that he made was like, you know what I'm saying? Basically like this how, basically kind of like this how the internet be, you know? That's that discussion that they be having on the internet every day, you know?
Uh-huh.
Going back and forth, black men, black women, every single day. So right. It's kind of like, seemed like they played off of that. But, mm-hmm. you know, I could be wrong. That was just my interpretation. Because it was kind of like out of nowhere. But then they say something like right at the beginning of it, he say, I don't know if he say this how the internet be or this how the world be. But he say something at the beginning that lets you know that he making a parallel. He is commentary.
Right. Yeah,
they acted the hell out of them work vocals.
Yeah, they did that shit. That was a hell of a scene. And scene. Yeah, they she killed that. He killed that. That was a good one. That shit damn near don't even need no video. You know what I'm saying?
That shit was a whole musical.
mm-hmm. What else? Yeah, overall I liked it, man. A lot of interesting commentary, you know. I think I like this one. I gotta keep listening to it to find out where I'm ranking it, but I might like I still feel like To Pimp a Butterfly is my favorite album by Kendrick. Mm-hmm. Then Good Kid, Mad City is like very close second. Then Damn, but this might be better than Damn, because I revisited Damn recently and I didn't make it all the way through. But I'm going to try it again. You know what I mean? But yeah, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the shit a lot, man.
Yeah, I got to give it another listen. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. You know, for it to be a double album... Mm-hmm. It played pretty quick. I'm like, damn, it's over already.
Right. I mean, maybe it's a double album based on today's standards, but it was like I think it's like an hour and 30, which I feel like is still, that might have stood up as a double. What was a double album back in the day? Since back in the days, the CD was like 72 minutes. I'm curious how long Life After Death is, or even All Eyes on Me is, how long they clock in.
Songs were longer back in the day.
Yeah. You know, nowadays, albums be about 35 minutes. You know what I'm saying? Full albums be 35 minutes. So, shit. It's still a lot longer than, you know, what's going on today. But I think it gets into a groove after it gets into a nice little groove after the first two records. Actually, not N95 is actually kind of cool. I fuck with it. But yeah, I gotta. Yeah,
I like N95.
Yeah, yeah. There's some shit on there. I haven't even, you know, again, like, it's gonna take some time. I like to really process these Kendrick albums, but I'm pleased. I'm happy. Actually, funny enough, shout out to my man Ro. Somebody hit me over these last couple days. One of the listeners hit me and was like, would you put. First, he was like, do you think Kendrick under-delivered, delivered, over-delivered? I said he delivered. You know, I'm still processing. I don't know if it's over-delivered. He delivered. I think so. He felt like he over-delivered. Mm-hmm. But then he asked me the second question, which is a pretty interesting question, pretty valid question. Mm-hmm. Is Tyler in the cohort of Kendrick, Cole, and Drake?
Mm. I think he is, but in a different kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
And shit, for me, it took Cole a minute to get in that conversation, and mm-hmm. you know, and he's still a different kind of artist than both of them. You know what I mean? The thing about Cole, he was able to make his way his own way. You know, producing his own beats. You know, going against the grain to keep his sound the way he wanted it. And Drake, of course, do what Drake do.
Mm-hmm.
And but Kendrick, you know, he was able to create a whole fucking. I don't know what they be doing over there in that Dr. Dre, Jimmy Iovine factory over there.
That mastering and all that mixing, that sound wave too.
There's ones just sound wave, but just like you take an artist like The Game, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's like being on the East Coast, you don't see Game, you know, performing live, and you know what I'm saying. Work like you know, you know, in the East, you see them artists from the South and from New York. You see them working. They in the club and here they in Philly, they in Atlanta, they in Miami at Live. You see them working. Then it's like I don't know if I ever seen The Game live or you know even promoted live, but he seemed to be always having money and you know what I'm saying, living a great life. I'm like, well, damn, when did The Game work? But obviously. You know what I'm saying? He's able to make a hell of a living and do it in a way that's not as, it doesn't seem as he putting a lot of miles on himself like some, you know, like these artists that's on the grind. So it's like Kendrick, right. He'll drop an album every couple few years or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Make art out of it and just test shit up for a minute and then disappear. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be okay because the system is set up however they got it set up. But it's admirable to, you know, be in your own system and work it the way you want to work it and not have to kind of be shopping around, you know, getting in where you fit in these other places, you know. Mm-hmm. It's almost like, but it's like, it's, you know, it's like a rock star kind of, you know what I mean? But in a different kind of way.
Yeah, no, I get it. I see that. I think with The Game thing, my observation is, I think he's working. I think he just works a lot on the West Coast.
Right, right. Know? And I get like, that part. You know, when you don't see it, it's like, well, damn, this nigga really
is
not
he
popular?
Hustling? Is he out there like Fab and, you know, right. Kiss and you, them type of niggas doing a lot of like, you know. I think when he active, you kind of see it. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if he's as active as they are. But then also, the other thing is, you know, you talk about that whole Dr. Dre, Jimmy Iovine thing. I think that a lot of what happens with that machine, too, is a lot of big-ass tours that these cats go on. Mm-hmm. So they might not necessarily have to be in the club getting the mm-hmm. brown paper bag shit. They on the mm-hmm. road on these huge tours and these huge lineups, you know what I mean? And they're getting nice. They getting their shit off there in front of Hugh. You know what I mean? They doing festivals mm-hmm. and all of that shit. Like, mm-hmm. I know Kendrick Lamar's about to put his tickets, I think, maybe Saturday's tickets for his tours going on. His tour is like 5 months or something crazy like that, you know? And that shit going to be all over the world. And, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's just going to be a different thing. But back right. to the Tyler, Kendrick, Cole, Drake thing, I think at this point, I think, you know, I think Tyler is up there. I think he should be in that conversation. I do think that he's intentionally, just from the beginning, even with our future, he's kind of intentionally played the role of the outsider. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, his whole shit wasn't about, you know, remember the notorious stories of Odd Future? Like, they would be shitting on motherfuckers. I remember them shitting on Steve Rifkin on Twitter. Steve Rifkin was trying to sign, and it was like, man, nobody want to go to your old ass office and sit at the fucking at the damn conference room table. Fuck out it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they was like, man, that's the last thing we want to do. We on some real indie type punk type shit. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, and then, you know, the creative direction of the videos made them, I mean, they were Odd Future. They look crazy, eating roaches and looking different. So he had his own, he was at the beat of his own drum. Like, you really had to fuck with them. It was very easy for you to be like, I'm cool on that. Whereas the other three, even though they had their own way, you know, J. Cole was very, you know, rapper, producer. He was still kind of straight ahead in that, in the grounded way of, you know, I'm going to do a record with Jay-Z. I'm trying to get signed to Jay-Z. You know what I mean? You know, fucking Drake, even though he was doing singing and rapping and all of that, he gets signed to Wayne. You know what I mean? Kendrick gets signed to Dre. You know what I'm saying? So they, like, they're still, even though they're very, you know, specific talents and they have their own singular way about them, they're still kind of in that pipeline, that traditional pipeline. But at the same time, shit, Tyler, just like Kendrick, got 2 Rap Album of the Year Grammys. You know, even though he didn't feel like, and many people don't feel like Ego was a rap album, you know what I'm saying? But shit, he's got the bona fides, and he's got the you know, he's selling out. Like, he's doing arenas. You know, he's out here getting to it. You know what I'm saying? And, like, you know, it's just, it's an interesting, it's an interesting conversation, because for a while it was always those three. And then Tyler had his own, like, little, you know, ecosystem or whatever going on. But now that everybody's kind of, you know, risen to the top, like, this is the new generation of these top dogs. They gotta be recognized. And it's definitely, this is the new generation of, like, leaders. You know what I'm saying? Like, and there was, you know, there's a few others, but, like, it's just kind of crazy that these people have all, damn near all of them, are 10 plus year careers, you know? And it's just, you know, it's just so wild. Like, it felt like a blink of an eye. But it was an interesting question. Somebody asked that.
True.
Yeah, man. Did you see, man? Oh, before we jet out of here, real quick, are you caught up on your Atlanta situation or nah? You've been out here.
I'm not, but I really want to hear your take, because I heard one of these episodes has some tripped out shit on it.
Yeah. You know what? We'll talk about it when you watch it. Because, you know what? Like, you know, every time we get on this mic, I guess since it drops on Thursdays, and then we, you know what I mean, it always feels so long ago. You know what I mean? So the new jazz joint, I might want to rewatch it, but I would rather you watch it too, so we could, you know what I'm saying? Like, you'd be like, oh, yeah, I saw this Blase skip. You know what I mean? But it was interesting.
No doubt. And I was out there in the world of Vegas.
Yeah. No, I could dig it. Yeah, I was checking that shit out. I started We Own This City. That's interesting. You know, it's a good show. It's like seeing all these black people being, you know, tormented by the police. You know what I mean? It's just like the reverse. It's kind of like the reverse Wire. You know what I'm saying? On a certain level, it's just more from the, I mean, you know, the Wire kind of shared both sides. It was the cops and you know, and the hustlers. Now this is mostly just from the point of view of the cops, and you know, and it's pretty interesting in the way that they keep, like, it's like Freddie Gray is like a character that's not in it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, they keep making so much mention of Freddie Gray. I wonder if they, you know, put some money towards his family just for the fact, obviously, you know, it's public record or whatever, but it's just like so much of, like, you know, I guess a lot of this, and I'm gonna have to read up on it because I know it's based on a book, and I, you know, David Simon is involved, and David Simon is a reporter. You know what I'm saying?
It's a Baltimore thing. Shit,
yeah, it's a Baltimore thing, and you know, his shit is typically pulled from the news. So I'm just curious. Like, I know, like, the person that they got playing the mayor looks like the actual mayor from Baltimore. You know what I'm saying? So I'm curious how, by the, you know, how true to what really happened is this show? Like, you know what I mean? Like, is it like, because it's not a docuseries. There's still, it doesn't feel like a docuseries. It's, you know, it's definitely a scripted series, but I'm just curious, like, how much of it is, because they definitely saying Freddie Gray's name quite a bit. You know what I mean? And it's just like, it's, yeah, it's interesting. Obviously, that's a real story or whatever, but it just, I don't know if it's exploitation or reportage. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But
I mean, he really, yeah. I mean, you know, at least with The Wire, he really went in and really tapped into the real people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's why, and that's the reason I'm going to double back, because, you know, David Simon, I feel like he diligent in that way. So I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. But what I'm saying is, like, when you watch it, like, they, you know, it's almost like, I mean, it's basically like, not Christ, but you know how there's A.D. and B.C.? You know, the lot of the story is basically, you know, before Freddie Gray, after Freddie Gray. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think they literally say explicitly that. You know what I'm saying? Like, Baltimore's response to policing and how the police see that whole thing, how they feel hampered, like they can't really go out there and do their job because of what happened with this whole Freddie Gray thing and da-da-da-da-da. And you know what I mean? Like, now we can't cuff no people. What's going on? Everybody's pulling out a camera. You know, it's a lot. It's a, it's that type of story, which is, it's also a, it's a, you know, if you black, you know what I'm saying, it might be a little hard for you to kind of have any true sympathy for that point of view. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just seeing all the corruption and all of that shit. It's a hell of a story, though. It's good storytelling, great acting. You know what I mean? It's a lot. And it's also, you know, the HBO shuffle. So there's a lot of people from The Wire, you know what I'm saying, shuffled. That was part of the reason I didn't even want to get into it, because Marlo is a cop on this one. You know what I mean? So it's just like, damn, seeing Marlo as the cop. But Marlo is killing it as the cop. Jamie Hector's a hell of an actor. You know what I mean? Like, it was, it's a pretty good situation. So, yeah.
That's what's up. I ain't even ever heard of that until you started talking about it last week.
Yeah, I just started watching it. Yeah, We Own This City. It's on HBO Max. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. Barry's been really good, but I know you don't fuck with that, but that shit is fantastic this season. Last
you say,
episode.
Who's Barry?
Barry. Yeah, man. That's Barry so worth your time, bro. Barry is worth it. I'm trying to tell you, that shit is good. Hacks just came back. Huh?
Where that's located, that show? Where they shoot
that? HBO Max. It's in the second
season. I'm saying, like,
where does it take place?
Yeah, the set. Where is the set?
L.A. So the story of Barry is, Barry is Bill Hader.
Like a hitman, right? And a comedian.
He's a hitman who winds up getting into acting.
Yeah, right.
And it sounds like, when you hear the premise, it sounds silly. Like, it just sounds like, okay, this is going to be some silly shit. But the way that they, like, balance the tone, like, when he on his hitman shit, he's on his hitman shit. You know what I'm saying? And when he's trying to do his actor shit, it's true to, like, you know, an aspiring actor. And then it's funny too, but it could get, like, it could get dark. It's just a hell of, it's the balance is so, it struck so well. Like, there is some laugh out loud funny moments, but when he go in on his real hitman shit, like, it ain't, It ain't no play. Like, there's moments where it's like, oh, yeah, it reminds you. You might have just seen some silly shit. You know, I don't even want to say silly shit, but just some funny commentary on the thing, or just a funny way of presenting a story. And mm-hmm. then it goes to when he got to handle business, and it's like a stark reminder, oh, yeah, this motherfucker's a psychopath. You know what I'm saying? Like, but it's good, though. It's super, you know, the acting is great. You know, the shit is dope. It's definitely worth watching. Definitely worth watching. One of my favorite shows in a minute.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. I said that last time from season one. Yeah, it's up there. I fuck with Barry.
Yeah. That's what's up.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, anything else you want to talk about? Chop it up about?
Not that I know of.
Yeah. You know, I'd say, you know, before we get out of here, I do want to say, you know, rest in peace to the 10 people killed in that Buffalo mass shooting. That shit was some bullshit.
Man, that's crazy.
That shit was terrible. And I won't get all the way into it, but it's just one thing that I've been noticing as of, you know, it's just sometimes you just, it's like the, you know, the death of these people is already tragic enough, but then it becomes like this insult to injury thing in which you realize, like, how black life is treated. Like, you know, like, it just becomes like this. It's almost cliche the way that, like, a white mass shooter could kill all of these people and it becomes, like, the cliche of them being taken in unharmed and, you know, coddled by the reporting and, you know what I mean? They might not, you know what I'm saying? They say a teenager is not an 18-year-old man and, you know, all of this this shit, the way it's presented, it's just like, it's even more, that's even, like, that's the double assault. It's like, right. Yo, you know, we're going to show you the fucked up shit and the fact that the video, if you want to watch it, is still out there. You know what I mean? But then it's just like, even that, and then it's just like to show you how this will be treated is like just the, it's like after a motherfucker got you down, then they talking shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just that's just like, you know, that becomes the American way. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, it always leaves a bad taste in your mouth. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, rest in peace to those victims. That shit was fucking horrible. Anyway. I think it's time for us to get out of here. You know? I don't know how to transition out of that shit. It's just on that note, I mean, you know, old black trauma. Yeah, man, shit. Let's, you know, till next week, let's tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation. We out.
Word.